Yo, welcome to the Cold World Podcast. It is good to see folks. It's good to hear from folks. It has been an interesting week. It has been interesting since the boy Donald Trump has stepped into office. It is, homie did exactly what he said he wanted to do. He is talking about building walls, and he is putting Muslim bans and all that stuff. This is sparkling water, by the way. It's not soda. I'm trying to stay away from the soda and stuff. But, you know, there are a lot of folks having buyer's remorse with Mr. Trump. I saw a lot of folks that voted for Mr. Trump that are now upset because he is doing the things that he said he was going to do, which is really interesting because I don't know. Subtlety is not Mr. Trump's strong suit. He says what he means and goes straight into that. So there's a lot of folks that once this ban hit and people got caught outside the country, there's a lot of folks that voted for Trump that are having some feelings about that. Well, I don't know, man. How are y'all doing with the Trump stuff? I think that I'm not super surprised. I think that he is, like I said, he is going to do the things he said he's going to do. And I feel that we have a way of doing things in the United States. We do have a constitution, and there are things that are set up to protect you. So I'm really happy to hear about what the ACLU is doing. I'm happy that the folks that are being detained at SFO, I heard that they all got let go. And we got to start, you know, you'll start seeing a lot of new legislation. You'll start to see a lot of stays, people trying to get stays and people trying to get injunctions and things like that. So it's going to be interesting. I think the way that I look at that and the way that I approach that is, you know, I like seeing people resist, and I do those things in my own way. And also, man, I am just trying to do more of what I was doing before. And what I mean by that is, I am trying not to before I say this thing about victimization or not being a victim, because language is important. I work really hard to not be a victim. And when I say that, that's not me throwing shade at anybody else. That's not me putting my, my beliefs on the other folks. I just grew up the way that I grew up. I grew up, you know, bouncing around from home to home and from city to city and different parts of the country and living in shelters and just having to stay with family and all that stuff. And I got to a point in my life where I said I didn't want to be a victim, and I didn't want to, this whole victimization thing, it just wasn't going to be part of my DNA. And so I know I can't control everything. I know that there are forces that are outside of the realm of which I can control, but I do try to control for the things that I can. And so, you know, and I've been lucky in a lot of ways. You know, there's like I have friends that are not here anymore, and I'm blessed that because that could have been me in a lot of cases, right? It could have been anybody that's listening here. And so I try to take advantage of the same 24 hours that Oprah got, the same 24 hours that Trump got, the same 24 hours that Michael Jordan got, the same 24 hours that Gandhi had in a day. I control what I do with that time. And I decided a long time ago that if it was something that I was doing that didn't impact me or wasn't going to line me up for the things that I wanted later on in my life, that I just wasn't going to do it. And so I work really, really hard because I like to be in control of the things that happen to me. Like there's a lot of people that I grew up with, and they made choices. Like let's control for everything. Let's also control for systemic racism. Let's control for freak accidents. Let's control for a bunch of things that just that life just happens, right? But there's also a way in which I tried to utilize my time to make sure that I was investing the right seeds that could blossom at a different point. So what I mean by that is, for me, I chose school. Like, everybody don't choose school, and it's fine if you didn't. I have some entrepreneur friends actually that I've been getting to spend some more time with, and they have a different view on school. A lot of them have not done any school, but they are just bona fide hustlers and they have a skill. But even with those folks, the way we spend our 24 hours is different from the way that a lot of people that I know spend their 24 hours. So, you know, there's a 9 to 5 and then there's a 5 to 9 schedule. In my 9 to 5, I have a job. I have a job that pays my bills. I have a job that is fulfilling to me, and where I am building up skills and capital and things of that nature, and because I need a certain level of stability. That's just me. Maybe I'll get to a point where I'm not as concerned about that, but me growing up in shelters and stuff, that's something that's important to me. But I have friends that are just full-on entrepreneurs, and I respect them, and I want to maybe get to that point at some point. But then there's another shift. There is the 5 to 9 shift. That's the 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. shift. What I do when I leave my job is different than what a lot of other people do when they leave their jobs. Now, there are people that have kids. There are people that have, you know, that need to go see family and see friends and things. Like, there are life things happen. But when we talk about hustling and we're talking about a certain type of life that you want to live, you make decisions. So let me just, because I think a lot of, somebody said something to me the other day and we were talking, and we was having this conversation, and somebody insinuated to me that stuff had got handed to me or that I was lucky. And me and my brother talk about this a lot. It takes a lot to get me like really upset, right? Like I'm not emotionally invested in a lot of things outside of education and outside of like helping Black folks. But after that, I'm not really emotionally attached to anything or anybody for the most part. And so it takes a lot to like move me off of that, off the level of calm that I try to operate in. But we were having this conversation, and I know the person we was having a conversation with. Like, I know the type of decisions this person made. I remember when I was doing school and they was just like clowning me. I used to be the butt of a whole bunch of jokes because I was like doing that college thing, right? And homie said something to the effect of, I was lucky. Now, that lucky word, when you say I was lucky, like when you just discount the sacrifices that I made and the sacrifice that I make constantly and consistently, like we got a real problem. So I had to break it down for homie. I'm not gonna really say everything that we said in that conversation because it took a turn, and it you know, a lot of y'all don't know that side of me, but it's like I said, there's a few things that upset me. So let's look. So what we talked about was, what do I do between my 5 to 9 shift after work? So after that, after I leave my job, I tend to go to like a Starbucks or something, because I'm in a doctoral program, and it just requires an immense amount of reading and research and writing. And that's just, it's just something that I have multiple degrees. I've done that. I don't think I'm the best student, but I think that I've been able to like just go hard and do these things. But to grasp these things that I'm doing in this doctoral program, I have to spend a lot of time with content and just reading and taking in information. So I'll go and I'll try to read like a few articles for my dissertation. Then I also have a business in which I speak to folks, I put out content, I do the podcast. Like my brand allows me to have a different income, a different set of experiences, and a different path to like learn and grow. And so that means, though, in order to build that brand, I have to constantly put out content. I am constantly publishing articles or working on a speech or going somewhere to speak. And so that stuff takes a lot of refinement and it takes a lot of practice. There's a lot of folks that have seen me speak and think that that stuff comes naturally. And part of it is my personality. It's something that I was decent at. On a scale of 1 to 10, I may have been like a 5.5, a 6. But with practice and time and studying, right, like you can improve that, right? Like I lean into my strengths. So I just put out a ton of content. One of those pieces of content I shared with you all recently was the Ava DuVernay piece. And, you know, I wrote that, but I researched that thing. It was something that I cared about, and I put some passion in it, and I wrote it. And, oh, and she saw it. And so for those that don't know, because I did the podcast and talked about it, but I was away, and I couldn't upload the audio. So just real quick. Ava DuVernay wrote Selma. Somebody wrote it before she did. It was a white dude, Paul Webb. You should go read the article. It's really dope. Just her story, right? But basically, this dude wrote it in like 08, 09, and it didn't do anything with it. So she gets it. She looks at the script. She's not messing with the script. So she rewrites it. She rewrites the entire script. And as she gets to the parts where Martin Luther King has to give these speeches around Selma, we find out that Steven Spielberg owns the rights to Martin Luther King's speeches. And Ava DuVernay calls up Spielberg, and basically he is not down to share those to give her the rights to those speeches. So she rewrites every single word that MLK said. And so when it comes time to finish the movie, she wants to get a writing credit because she wrote the damn thing. And so she hits up the homie that wrote it, Paul Webb, and he tells her, no, I will not share writing credit with you. So this black woman puts her head down, finishes the work, does the good work, puts out a great movie. It gets a lot of attention. Nobody knows she wrote the movie. Nobody knows that she actually wrote those words that came out of King's mouth. So she wrote Martin Luther King Jr. quality speeches that the public didn't even recognize that she wrote, and she got no credit for it outside of writing her movie, outside of doing directing the movie. She didn't get a writing credit, and a lot of folks didn't know that Spielberg owns those rights. So I wrote about that. I was listening to a podcast, and it's called the Black Men Don't Jump in Hollywood podcast. And it's a podcast by like these young black men, they're actors in Hollywood. And they talk about a black movie every show, and they talk about how it affected the culture. And one of the dudes was going off on it, so I paused the podcast and went and did this research. I wrote the article. I published it on my website first before giving it to Huffington, and she saw it. She saw it on my website, and she responded. She hit me up, and she hit up the podcast and just told us that how much she appreciated us for that. But that level of hustle and grinding, right? Like that, the level that she did, but also I wrote that while I was in Atlanta, talking and lecturing for about 8 hours a day. And so like there was no partying when I went out to Atlanta. I love Atlanta. Atlanta is a great city to me, and it might become home at some point. I don't know. I want to stay in Oakland, but you know, we have to see. But the grind and hustle during that time, like the weekend, yo, is not a free day when you are making the sacrifices to live the type of life that you want to live. So when homie tells me that I got lucky in where I'm at, I got lucky in the type of salary I have, or I got lucky in being able to travel the country or the world to speak and do these things, we had to have a real conversation. So it was like, oh, well, you were just in Atlanta doing woom, woom, woom. No, check this out. I was in Atlanta. I had to go speak from 9 to about 5 o'clock each day on average. Atlanta is 3 hours ahead. So I wake up at 6 in the morning to prep. That means that I am waking up at 3 a.m. Pacific's time to be up at 6 in Atlanta. I get up, I do my little workout, I read, and I study because, again, I'm a doctoral student, so I have to keep up with all this reading. I have to consume so much information because I need to be an expert in the thing that I'm studying. So I put an hour to my graduate studies. I go back over the things that I'm about to talk about in Atlanta. I do that thing. I get finished with that. I'm done with that around 5:30. I come back to my hotel, take a quick nap, maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Then I'm right back on studying. Then I'm listening to that podcast. I spend about an hour maybe doing the research, getting the links, doing all those things, double checking those sources. I write the article. I edit the article. I get the article out there. Then I start to push it. That's about 3 hours later. After that, there is other content that I have to write, that I have to generate, because I need to continuously give you all content so I can continue to learn. So when I'm not doing this with you, or I'm not at work, I am trying to fill my cup so I can be what my people need me to be. So I need to understand what's going on in education on a national level. I need to understand it on a state level. I need to understand it at a city level, all the way down from the district to a school to a specific family. Like, I spend time with that, right? And then what I also was doing during that time was, I know in these times of Trump, I'm not as worried during these times of Trump. And let me spell out what I mean by that. Trump is a terrible person, and these policies are terrible. What it feels like to me as a black man is that, and what I know is that, you can't treat white people collectively like you treat black people collectively. What I mean by that is, when people went to bed the night Trump won, and the morning that, and the next morning woke up and he was the new president-elect, subconsciously, white folks, people with privilege, whomever, people living in a bubble, what happened was, is that they woke up understanding that they was about to start getting treated like black folks, that they was about to start getting treated like Latino folks, like poor people, the way that people have been treated for so long. This stuff isn't necessarily new to me. The way in which I've seen my people shot down in the streets, the way that I see us being failed in education, I am in like that world. I see stats. I see stuff every single day. Education just didn't just get bad. I'm glad people are rallying against Betsy DeVos, and we'll see what happens with that. Right. That's the person that's up to be Secretary of Education. But I want my people to understand just what the role of a Secretary of Education is. She's not about to come and teach your classes. Like, that's just not about to be what happens. What there is a specific role, and I need us to understand what's about to happen. But on a day to day, for the last 50, 60 years, if you are black and you are poor, you've been being failed in education. God don't like ugly, and he's not too fond of pretty. So what I mean by that is, this is not new stuff, but we are in a time where people that did not have to deal with this type of oppression, that people did not have to deal with the way in which poor black and brown people get treated on a daily basis, that was not their reality. So that is what Trump is. He is the culmination and the realization of liberal folks and folks across the country that are like, oh, snap, my rights can be taken away. Oh, snap, Planned Parenthood can be taken away from me. Oh, snap, the health care that was just given to all these poor folks can now be taken away. And it's hard for me to process that and to be in solidarity with everybody I am. But it's hard to do that without some feelings, because I'm 33 years old. For 33 years, folks that look like me have been going through this stuff daily. And every time we talked about it, and every time we tried to rise up, it was a problem. Every time that we tried to march, or Colin Kaepernick wears a shirt or takes a knee, it's a problem. And so I'm learning a lot by how people in power move when things are not going the way that they want them to go. And I applaud it. I'm not mad at it. It's just interesting to me. And I want us to be prepared. And so that's what I mean when I'm talking about not being a victim. So what I try to do to combat these things are the things that I've been doing. I try to give people my capital. So if you are a mom and you are struggling with your kid as far as education is concerned, I did a video because this is that college season right now. And basically, I am giving those parents that are struggling right now and those students, I'm giving them my social capital. I understand how to get kids in and through college. I've done it. I've done it with over 400, 500 kids that had poor grades and not a lot of resources. And it's like, here are the steps that you need, because they don't know. A lot of times we don't know and we don't have access to that information. All of that stuff goes into my hustle. All of that stuff is between my 9 to 5 and my 5 to 9. Now, what I may struggle with is I have to build my business and my brand and manage that in a way that I'm not taken advantage of, or that I can live a certain type of lifestyle that I want to live. It's not necessarily about money or things of that nature, but you have to know what you're worth in this world, so people don't take advantage of you and you aren't a willing participant in that. I am not a willing participant in that. And so for that reason, I will outwork you. If it's you and me, and I have to get through you in order for me to survive, guess who just got ran through? And I'm not trying to be, I'm not angry and I'm not mad, but I wanted to share this conversation that I had with you because I need you to understand my mindset and where I come from. There's a mini documentary that's coming out on me and my work. I seen the final version, so it should be out next week sometimes, right? I wish I could give y'all a preview, man. I'm really excited for y'all to see it. But I need you to, but this is my mindset. My mindset is, as a dirty ass kid that lived in multiple shelters, that watched his parents high, that visited both his parents in jail, that lived with his grandmother and was raised by his grandmother until she died, and got on a Greyhound bus and moved from Kentucky to Oakland, well, to the Bay Area. It was Hayward, actually, where I first moved to before I settled in Oakland, who lived in shelters, who slept in a shelter holding on to my stuff because crackheads was stealing things because it was around Christmas time. Those things have built me to be who I am today. And it has freed me from the need to be accepted and wanted by society in that way. A lot of people, quote unquote, like me today and respect me today. There's a lot of people that will listen to what I'm saying, that will listen to my podcast, that will read my articles, that will pay money to see me speak. And I still remember being 9 years old, standing in line in a soup line so I can eat food. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, every Christmas, like, I stood outside to go to those toy drives to get toys that other kids didn't want. So you got to get to this place, right, where you know exactly who you are and you know exactly the type of life that you want to live, and you are not afraid to go out and take that type of life that you want. You're going to have to work. You're going to have, and if you black or brown, if you a woman, if you gay, if you whatever, you have to be ready and you have to understand that life is not fair. And the moment that you start talking about things that are not fair for you is the moment that you lost. Because here's the thing. I am going to use every bit of the 24 hours in my day to go after what I want. I'm either going to hit a home run or I'm going to strike all the way the hell out, because there is just a certain lifestyle that I am never going back to. So when somebody is telling me, yo, you need to like settle down, get you a girl, do this and do that, maybe in due time at some point, that's cool. But I watched my dad not be able to provide for his family on Christmas. You understand? Like I've seen my pops like struggle and be at the whim of an employer that may or may not respect him. what manhood is to me, and we can have a conversation about this. I know that we are in a place now. I don't understand a lot of things in 2017. I don't understand the way that we talk about masculinity now, what it means to be a man. And I come from a time, I have a mindset that my grandmother told me, let me just put it like that. My grandmother, the woman that I've loved more than anybody on this planet that raised me until she died, told me what a man was supposed to do. And a man is supposed to be able to protect and take care of a family and to provide for that family. And you cannot provide and take care of a family if you can't do those things for yourself. So I will work and dedicate my life to ending different types of systemic oppression. I will stand up for you and I will stand up for your rights. I will fight public education when it's not doing the things that it needs to do. I will listen to you when I am an agent of public education that might not be doing the best thing, the best job at the moment. And I will take that because I understand where people are and where our struggles are. But I want my people to not be dependent on anything. I grew up on welfare. I grew up with food stamps. I remember the little brown books, yo, and that you wasn't supposed to rip it out. You got to let them rip it out. I've sold food stamps, yo, and I've bought food stamps in my life. I understand the importance of that stuff getting through because that I survived on that. And I also made a promise to myself that I would never be in a position as an adult where I need that. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to take that from you because I understand, like, people need those things. But I also know what I want for myself in my life. Now, like, so that those are my values, right? I know what those moments meant for me. I have friends. I have people that I know. I have family. I have people that share my DNA, that have my blood, that prey on Section 8. I have heard people say, I'm going to have another baby to do X. And that's not just black stuff. That's white people do that stuff too. So what I'm saying is, I work hard to be a free black man. I am not a slave to Democratic thinking or Republican thinking or any of that stuff. That's gang mentality. I don't do that. So I am able to sit here and say to you that I can't stand Trump. I don't like where he's going with things. I think that he is a xenophobe, and I think all these things. And I can also say that when he said what he said about Chicago, saying that either y'all do something or I'm sending some people in there. Now, I don't know what that means when he says he's sending people in there. But I can't let my blind group think everything that dude say, I can't just be, because I've said that. I've said that in my life as somebody who was born in Chicago, who has seen the type of war zone that it is there, that somebody needs to take some responsibility. It is a war zone in the South Side of Chicago. And there are other parts of Chicago that ain't never seen that stuff before. So my responsibility as an adult with an education, with access, with a decent level of power at this point, is to discern between the things that I don't like and the things that I'm open to listening to. I'm not nobody's sheep, man. I'm not. And so, you know, I wanted to talk about that because there are young people that listen into this podcast and that watch this video and that send me messages. Sometimes they send it in the public, but I get a lot of private messages about it, right? Where people are asking questions and they'll ask me how I got to where I got to, if I'm satisfied, what do I do? And I'm telling you, this podcast is for you. I am talking directly to those 40 or 45 folks that had those young people that had these similar type of questions across the country. I sacrifice. I know who I am. And I know that in this country, we will build you up just to tear you down. This is called fake love. This right here, like the life that I'm able to live now, like, Like, it is, as soon as I say something that America doesn't like, you go from being America's hero to an outcast quickly. I have my faith. I try to do what I feel that God tells me to do. And I just try to be better tomorrow than I was today, than I was the day before. But I sacrifice, man, and I hustle, and I don't stop at 5 o'clock. What I do on my 9 to 5 shift and then my 5 to 9 shift is important. After I get off of this, I'm going to edit this down. I'm going to upload it. I'm going to put all the messages out and schedule those out so I have promotion for my podcast that I do on my own. Then I'm going to read 2 articles around the failure that education has done to Black America, because that's just the research that I'm doing. And then I'm going to take some notes on that. And then I am going to queue up another article, another piece of content that I will publish. I will go to bed, and then I will wake up tomorrow morning at 5:15 a.m. I will get up and I will read some more. I will sit on my balcony and do some research. And then I will get ready to go to work. And like, that is that cycle. I use my weekends. I recharge a bit, but I work during the weekend because every moment there is somebody out there. There's a spot that somebody occupies that I want to occupy right now. I don't know where they are, but they're not working as hard as they need to be working. And this is a zero sum game at times. And I'm coming for their spot. Because I grew up a certain way and I want a certain type of lifestyle and I want to be able to help people a certain type of way. And so I'm going to take it from them because they not working. And I also know that there's somebody hungry behind me that sees what I'm doing, that probably feels that I don't deserve it, and they feel like they can take it. And so I'm working and I'm going to keep working. And so that's the secret, man. That's the life. That's the way in which I live my life. It's fulfilling for me. It speaks to me. That's not for everybody. I just think that it's easier. This living this way is easier for me than I can still smell the shelter that I lived in. You understand me? Like, I can smell the shelter in San Francisco where it was bunk beds and cots. And I was on the top bunk and I was sleeping with a coat on. I was holding on to one of my bags because somebody had been in the shelter stealing stuff. I remember what I can still hear it. I can still smell it. So if the difference is stay up a few extra nights and work a little harder, then damn it, that's what I'm going to do. Because I'm never going back to that life. I'll put a mask on and rob some people before I go back to that type of life. I swear for Lord. I swear to you, I am never going back to that life. And so you got to make choices, man. Life is about choices. So thank you for your questions. Keep them coming. And I promised you that I would answer the question. I promised all of that whole group that I would answer those questions, that I would not parse my words, that I would be honest with you. And that's it. You got a peek directly into my psyche. Hopefully I didn't come off as as angry or anything like that, man. But I know... I know what's happening to my people. I know what happened to me. And I choose to not be a victim of that stuff. And I choose to build up enough capital so it can help you. And so it can help other folks. But anyway, keep an eye on this Trump stuff, man. Atlanta, I want to thank you again for being such a gracious and wonderful host. I will be back in Atlanta in a few weeks. I cannot wait. I will be there supporting about 250, 300 second year Black teachers from across the country. I can't wait. Sacramento, I will be there speaking. I think towards the end of February, and then Fresno Unified, I will be, there's an event that Fresno Unified is having that I got invited out to. I will be teaching maybe 2 or 3 courses during that day. And then I got a few other bookings, man. I don't know. I got to go look. I let I just get that stuff on the calendar, and then the calendar tells me where to go. If you do want to book me, you can look. My Twitter is right there, but you can also go to my website, energyconverters.org, and there's a contact page. I get paid what I'm worth, but when it has something to do with kids, man, don't even worry about that stuff, especially when it's black kids. Just ask for what you need, and we'll work it out. I'm blessed to be able to do that, and that's what I'm gonna keep doing. I got a question. I'm sorry. Somebody said, "Who is there? Anybody that you want to make proud?" It's not too many folks' opinions that really matter to me, except for mine, to be real with you. But I would hope that my grandmother is proud. That's my favorite person in the world, even though she's not here. I know she can see everything. So I do things, and when I need a boost or whatever, or if I'm confused on something, you know, I ask, will this make my grandmother proud? So that is what I use. That's how I reconcile that stuff for myself. Are there any other questions before? And this is for the folks listening to the podcast. I'm doing this live on Facebook Live, and then there are some text messages coming in too. So I answer those questions live. Are there any other questions before I close us out? Okay, cool. Well, I will try to get more content out. I am going to actually make some more investments into this to get this to look a little nicer. I want to get some nicer cameras for y'all. And I actually, you know, I heard folks, I want to get my brother on the show some more. He is my boy Will. Every time he comes on, it does really well. And so we've been talking, and, you know, I actually think I want to turn this into like, well, I can't give y'all all the plans. There are some things that I'm working on. And so I'm gonna keep working, and I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. And if you are watching this, if you are around, if you're watching this on your phone, if you are listening to this on your iPhone or your computer or whatnot, then you blessed too. And you got the same 24 hours in a day that Oprah got, man. You got the same 24 hours in a day that everybody else got. How you use that time is up to you. And that's for folks with kids. That's for folks that got to take care of families. That's for folks that's running multi-million-dollar businesses. That's for folks that got down on their luck and might still be living in their mama's basement. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't like something, change it. Because at the end of the day, only person that's responsible for you is you. But they done tricked us into thinking that we, making us think we victims, man, and we not. Even if you did whip us for 400 years, even if you shipped us over here and all that stuff, man, what all that did was put it in my DNA that I'm strong, and that you come from strong people. And so, you know, use that. But, all right, y'all take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. And I will be checking in with y'all soon. Please share the podcast. If you listen, the podcast can be found. It's the Cold World Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud. And on SoundCloud, because y'all asked for it, yo, you can comment directly at certain points of it. Use that feature. I like that feature. And please rate us at iTunes. That would be really helpful. All right. With that being said, man, y'all take care. Peace.